Hello, it's your friend CJ Werlemann, and in this episode, we reveal why a growing and strengthening alliance between Muslim-majority countries is reshaping the Middle East and presenting the State of Israel with an unprecedented existential threat. But first, please remember to like and subscribe to our show, and ensure your notifications are turned on so you never miss a single episode. Now let's get into it. The idea of a collective security alliance that huddles together Muslim-majority countries under a binding collective defense obligation akin to what Europeans and Americans enjoy under NATO has been kicked around for years, mostly because the potential strategic benefits are obvious, given it would include a combination of Saudi money, Turkish technology, and Pakistani nukes, therefore constituting a triumvirate of military, economic, and technological firepower against the number one threat to peace and security in the Muslim world, the State of Israel. A stark reality given the Zionist military bombed and or invaded 9 Muslim-majority countries during the last year alone.
Israel has attacked more countries than any other country this year. Over 10,600 attacks on 6 countries and 3 territorial waters. These maps show where those attacks took place.
When Israel isn't bombing or invading Muslim countries unprovoked, then it's violating ceasefire agreements with its neighbors, having violated its ceasefire with Gaza by bombing it more than 1,000 times in 80 days, adding thousands of more civilians to a death toll that has already surpassed hundreds of thousands. A similar story can be told in Lebanon, proving yet again that Israel can never be trusted under any circumstances, especially when it's even willing to deceive and dupe its number one ally and benefactor.
I didn't like plenty of things I saw yesterday. I didn't like the fact that Israel unloaded right after we made the deal. They didn't have to unload. And I didn't like the fact that the retaliation was very strong. But in all fairness, Israel unloaded a lot. And now I hear Israel just went out because they felt it was violated by one rocket that didn't land anywhere. That's not what we want, I'll tell you. And I'm telling you, I'm not happy about that, Israel, either.
Israel also bombed Qatar, home to the largest U.S. military base in the Middle East, just months after the Qatari government gifted Trump a billion-dollar airplane, proving no Muslim country is safe from attack, even those with the strongest of ties to the United States government. Which is why Turkish President Recep Erdogan reignited the idea of an Islamic NATO in September 2024 by calling for Muslim unity against what he described as a growing threat of Israeli expansionism.
İstanbul'un kaderi Şam'ın kaderinden, Bağdat'ın, Kahire'nin, Sana'nın kaderinden, İslamabad'ın, Kabil'in, Trablus'un, Tahran'ın kaderinden, Mekke ile Medine'nin ve elbette Kudüs'ün ve Gazze'nin kaderinden ayrı değildir. Ümmetin sesini ve vicdanını temsil eden teşkilatımızın bu toplantısında İsrail'in tüm bölgeyi yangın yerine çeviren politikalarına karşı duruşumuzu açıkça dünya kamuoyuna duyurmamız gerekiyor.
This was Erdogan making a direct and urgent call for Muslim powers to isolate, encircle, and threaten Israel. A call that has invoked derision, skepticism, and even ridicule from Zionists, who have mocked Turkey and other Muslim countries for having achieved little in the 18 months since Erdogan gave that speech. They couldn't be more wrong, because every military strategist in Tel Aviv and Washington DC knows damn well that an Islamic NATO drastically changes the balance of power in the Middle East.
New Turkish threat is emerging. I want to be very clear. Turkey and Qatar have gained influence in Syria, are seeking influence elsewhere and everywhere throughout the region. And from here, I warn, Turkey is the new Iran. Erdogan is sophisticated, dangerous, and he seeks to encircle Israel. We can't close our eyes again.
Israelis know this because they have spent decades sowing division, chaos, and violence in the region to ensure Arab countries and the rest of the Muslim world never unite against it. But for Israel, these good old days came to a crashing end on September 17 last year, when Saudi Arabia and Pakistan signed the Strategic Mutual Defense Agreement, which declares that any aggression against either nation will be considered an act of aggression against both, meaning Saudi Arabia becomes the first Muslim country to enjoy security under Pakistan's nuclear umbrella.
Saudi Arabia and Pakistan signed a landmark security pact on September 17th that could reshape Gulf security. Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman and Pakistan's Prime Minister Shehbaz Sharif shook hands on the agreement, declaring that an attack on one would be treated as an attack on both. Pakistan's Defense Minister Khwaja Asif went further, suggesting Riyadh could even gain access to Islamabad's nuclear program if needed, echoing Turkey's warnings that Israeli aggression threatens the entire region. Whether by design or not, the pact sends a clear signal. The global order is shifting. And when old alliances falter, new ones carry weight.
Israel is now staring down its worst of all nightmares because it has now lost its number one strategic advantage, the implied threat of using nuclear weapons without having to worry about a counterstrike from its adversaries. A nightmare that's about to get considerably worse for the Zionist state now that Turkey has entered advanced talks to join Saudi Arabia and Pakistan in this mutual defense pact. A move that will create a new military bloc in the Middle East, linking three of the region's largest countries, each with their own unique capabilities and advantages. Oil-rich Saudi Arabia is the Arab world's only G20 economy. Pakistan is the Muslim world's only nuclear-armed state. And Turkey, which straddles both Asia and Europe, possesses the second largest army among NATO members. And added to this is the fact that both Pakistan and Turkey have become major weapons manufacturers and exporters, with Turkey supplying drones to Ukraine to use against Russia, while at the same time it rebuilds the Syrian army to help the new Syrian government resist and deter Israeli attacks and incursions. This newly emerged Islamic NATO is more than just words on paper. It has already expanded military interaction, training coordination, and defense industrial cooperation. More importantly, it provides each of these three countries the space to step out from underneath America's shadow by allowing each nation individually or collectively to take action against Israel without threats of US sanctions or restrictions.
Now enter Turkey. Turkey's inclusion changes the scale and depth of this arrangement. Ankara is no longer just a defense supplier. It is a systems architect. Its defense industry has proven expertise in avionics, sensors, electronic warfare, unmanned systems, and combat integration. Pakistan has already benefited from Turkish cooperation in drones and aerospace subsystems. Saudi Arabia brings capital, scale, and strategic reach. Together, this creates a closed-loop defense ecosystem. Pakistan provides a proven fighter platform and operational doctrine. Turkey contributes advanced subsystems, mission electronics, and future generation design input. Saudi Arabia provides funding, depth, and regional basing requirements. This is not about buying aircraft. It is about building shared capability pathways. The discussion.
Pro-Zionist media outlets are desperate for you to believe that this fledgling Islamic NATO has little chance of success. And while these critics are right about the Muslim alliance lacking a unified command structure, a shared doctrine, and binding collective defense obligations among them, the bottom line is this. Turkey occupies a position that neither Israel nor the West can ignore, given no Zionist or American strategy in the Middle East can function without Turkish support. The Turkish-Saudi-Pakistani alliance has already reshaped the map in Syria by defeating US-backed SDF forces and Israeli-backed Druze militias. This fledgling Islamic NATO has also destroyed Israeli and Emirati colonial missions in Sudan, where the pair arm and finance the genocidal rapid support forces, with the aim of stealing the African country's natural resources and its maritime ports in the Red Sea. And another major blow was dealt to the Zionist-Emirati alliance in Sudan when Pakistan stepped forward on January 26 to supply the Sudanese army with $1.5 billion worth of weapons to push back Israeli and Emirati-backed militias.
Pakistan is reportedly in the final stages of sealing a major defense deal with Sudan, valued at around $1.5 billion. This agreement is expected to include attack aircraft, combat drones, and advanced air defense systems, a move that could significantly strengthen Sudan's army, which is locked in a brutal conflict with the rapid support forces.
Last month, Islamic NATO helped the Sudanese army retake the country's capital city of Khartoum, signaling a potential turning point in Sudan's devastating civil war, now approaching its third year and 400,000 casualties. This delivered a devastating knockout punch to Zionist Emirati ambitions in the African nation. And Islamic NATO also destroyed Zionist Emirati plans to establish a separatist state in Yemen under the command of a separatist militia known as the Southern Transitional Council.
What's commonly referred to in the Middle East as the real nations of the Arab world, and by that we mean nations with a significant population, have woken up to what's been happening around them. Saudi Arabia, Algeria principally, but also Egypt potentially, have realized that a plan to dominate and control the key choke points of the region by Israel explicitly and the United Arab Emirates implicitly is a threat to their national interest.
Unfolding events in Yemen, Sudan, and Syria constitute a grinding halt to Israel's colonial ambitions in the Middle East, and therefore should not be seen as isolated incidents, but as direct fruits of the fledgling alliance known as Islamic NATO. Because neither Israel nor its allies can seriously challenge an alliance that combines Pakistani nuclear power with Turkish military strength and the Saudi economy. And best of all, Islamic NATO is only getting started, with Qatar lobbying Egypt to join the defense pact, as Egyptian media reports suggest that President Sisi is working on plans to establish a rapid reaction force that could deploy to protect any Arab state under attack from Israel. The rapid buildup of American forces against Iran underscores the urgency of an anti-Zionist alliance that has a unified command structure, shared doctrine, and binding collective defense obligations. The fulfillment of this aspiration poses a direct threat to Israel's security and Washington DC's interests. Therefore, there's never been a more critical time for Muslim countries to think outside the box.
So what if more Muslim countries join that and a new Islamic NATO is formed? Well, this will be a huge shift in geopolitics and regional power dynamics. Saudi Arabia would provide money, Pakistan brings nuclear deterrence, Turkey contributes advanced drones, and countries like Iran, Egypt, and Indonesia add manpower, bases, and strategic geography. Together, they would control the world's most vital trade routes, the Suez Canal, Bosporus Strait, Strait of Hormuz, Bab el-Mandeb, and Strait of Malacca. Without these routes, global trade is almost impossible. Over 65% of global oil reserves and 45% of natural gas would be in their control. And they would have more than 6 million active troops, nearly double the size of NATO's forces today.
Look, I know it's not easy to maintain an optimistic outlook towards the world, having witnessed Israel go totally unpunished for committing genocide in Gaza, fueling genocide in Sudan, and bombing 9 countries in 12 months. But that's the point. Zionists want you to feel defeated, demoralized, and disillusioned, because that's exactly how they break down our will to resist. We must never give up, and I can promise you that neither this program nor my journalism will quit the fight while the Zionist occupation continues to survive. We never once dreamed of quitting when Israel pressured YouTube into demonetizing our channel 5 months ago. But to stay in this fight, there's just no escaping the fact that we depend on those who kindly support our program via membership at patreon.com/CJ Werleman, which is why we kindly ask that you please join them in becoming a member too. We can't produce, sustain, and grow the show without your help, and we offer exclusive articles, analysis, content, and other benefits to those who do. But for now, good night, good morning, wherever you are, and stay blessed.